application rate. All these three application injection techniques I showed you is tested to 50 tons per hectare. In Denmark, we're usually not applying so much, we're only 20 to 35 tons per hectare. But in England, they often apply up to 50 tons, and they have tested that one, and they were actually able to do it in only 5 centimeters operation depth, because the distance of the tines were quite narrow, and they had these wings to create a cavity for all that slurry. Second question?
Number of applications of the
That is a quite good question. We usually only do injection 2 times, very early in the year, and then maybe after first harvesting or after second harvesting, and then the trailing hose the other times, not to damage the grass too much. Often 3 or 4 times in total over the year, our growing season.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so we've had a couple of presentations that have provided kind of a geographic perspective or historical perspective on manure application to no-till and perennial forages. We're going to shift now to a whole farm perspective. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Al Rotz, who's a well-established authority looking at farming systems and using his integrated farming systems model to test various scenarios. We've been fortunate to be able to collaborate with him to look at some of the trade-offs associated with using alternative manure application technologies, and he's going to speak to that end in his talk. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. As Pete indicated, we're going to turn our attention now to really looking at how these systems fit in whole farms. The co-authors, collaborators on this work, Tammy Veith, Curtis Dell, and Pete Kleiman from our unit, and Doug Beagle from Penn State. Most everybody here knows, I guess, that when you look at these types of systems, they have a wide variety of effects on the environment, including both water quality and air quality impacts. In terms of water quality, they can affect the amount of sediment runoff and then the amount of sediment-bound phosphorus in that runoff, the dissolved phosphorus in runoff, as well as nitrogen in runoff. From air quality standpoint, as we've been hearing, the major issue is ammonia emission. It can also have some impact on greenhouse gas emissions and volatile organic compounds, which are a wide series of different compounds that are the major source of odor from manure. So we're working on all of these areas. Today I'm going to look mostly on phosphorus runoff and ammonia emission, just comment a little bit on greenhouse gas emissions. The next talk is going to focus on odor. We also have a number of economic impacts. I think it was mentioned, Roy mentioned the initial cost is quite different among some of these systems, and that of course impacts the economics of the farm. It also impacts the operating costs. They have different labor requirements sometimes with slower operations, more power required, thus more fuel used. Those kind of things have to be factored in. They can also slow the operation, this was mentioned, and this can affect the timeliness of things, which can ultimately affect the growth and development of the crop, which can ultimately affect the amount of feed and the type of feeds available, the quality of feed for the animal, which affects the nutrients excreted, and it just has a lot of rippling effects throughout the whole farm. So really, how do we integrate all these factors into one evaluation? And to do that, we're really using farm simulation modeling. But we're combining that with experimental measurement to actually support the model. So our objective here was to do a comprehensive evaluation and comparison of the environmental impacts of 5 different manure application methods and look at their economics in whole farm systems. So 2 parts of the procedure. First, are underway. I guess we've conducted a large number of experimental evaluations. And you'll be hearing more about these experimental evaluations throughout the day from some of the other speakers. So we've used this experimental data then to kind of support the simulation model. In terms of the experiment, we've got 5 different manure application methods, and I'll go through these in a minute. We've done it for 4 years now, with 2 years using dairy manure, 2 years using swine manure. We've done it in multiple locations, soil types, and we're measuring various impacts on air and water emissions. In terms of the simulations, I'll do two here. We'll do a cow-calf swine operation and a dairy farm, both in central Pennsylvania. As far as the operations that we're looking at, first we're looking at broadcast. For this particular one, our broadcast spreader that was being used in these tests used relatively small splash plates, which allow a fairly uniform distribution of manure across the manure surface. Our second application method uses the same applicator, but it's very quickly tilled with a chisel plow to bury the manure, at least partially. The other system we're working with here is one that's been discussed, is with an aeration unit, where there's a band of manure placed directly behind the aerating device. Next, we have a shallow disc opener, which again has been discussed, that again places the manure underneath the soil surface, not too deep under the surface. The final system here that we've been working with is something that hasn't been mentioned yet. It comes from Norway. It uses very high pressure to inject the manure directly into the soil and below the soil surface again. So performance-wise, it's similar to the shallow disc when it's working, and that's when it's working. It's also a fairly expensive unit, which changes the economics some. In terms of field measurements, again, you're going to be hearing more about some of these, but we are measuring ammonia emissions from the different plots, from these different devices. We also have small isometers buried underneath the surface that are measuring leachate from the different plots. We have different size plots for looking at runoff losses of both sediment and phosphorus. And we're monitoring the yield and quality of the corn that's being produced off of the manure on these different plots. So in terms of the model, the manure distribution pattern is going to be quite different depending on the type of device used. So we've tried to factor this into our model now to kind of consider how the manure is being applied, to how that affects the losses that occur, and ultimately how that affects the nutrients that are being used by the crop. The particular model that we're using here is the integrated farm system model. It's a model that we've developed. What's unique about this model, it's a fairly process-based simulation of the farm. So we're simulating the growth and development of the crop as it approaches maturity. We simulate the harvesting storage processes. We keep track of the losses and quality changes that occur in the forage, also the resources used, the fuel, the labor, and that sort of thing that's used in the processes. That predicts the quantity and quality of feeds available, which we feed to the herd and predict how they're going to perform. We also then predict how the quantity and nutrient content of the manure that's going to be excreted. We then cycle that back through the manure handling process to the soil and continue that process. By simulating the farm over usually 25 years of weather, we can get a pretty good look at the long-term performance, environmental impact, and then ultimately the economics of the farm. So the first year, we'll look at the model evaluation, where we've compared data from our field plots to that simulated. Here, the solid blue shows the ammonia emissions that were measured from some different plot studies. These were for over 2 years of dairy slurry application. Then the hatch bars are that simulated. You can see there's a pretty good correlation across the different systems. So we can represent pretty well the ammonia emissions that are coming, that are being measured in the farm. This is a look at nitrate leaching. Again, there's a reasonable correlation, but not quite as clean as with ammonia, between the measured and simulated. If you look at here, the one major exception is the measured data here for the shallow disc type injector was fairly high, and I think we feel it's unreasonably high. There's probably some preferential flow into and through the lysimeter that was causing this. So that's one point that really does stand out as quite different between the simulated and measured. My confidence is more in the simulated than the measured here. But this is a look at phosphorus runoff. Again, I think there's a fairly good correlation between what's measured and what's simulated. But if you look at it, the simulated is running about 50% of that measured. And I think that's probably justifiable. And what we're simulating here, we're really simulating edge of field, edge of farm type losses, where what we're measuring is relatively small plot and losses that come off of that. So that there should be a scaling effect here that we would expect less from the farm itself. So anyhow, with this type of evaluation, I guess we're building confidence that we can represent these systems. So now we'll go on and actually simulate these in actual farms and look at how they perform. The first one is a cow-calf beef operation combined with swine. This is, again, it's an actual farm in central Pennsylvania. 34 cows and their replacements producing a crop of calves each year. These animals are out on the grassland year-round, so their manure is being deposited directly. We have no influence on that. We have 54 hectares of perennial grassland. So this hog operation can include up to 2,500 hogs, and they're supplying the manure then that's being put back on the grassland to help supplement the nutrition for the grassland in addition to that that's coming from the cows. So the manure is stored, and then it's spread primarily in the spring and through the summer and fall. And we've simulated this farm over 25 years of central Pennsylvania weather. This is a look at the predicted annual nitrogen losses. You can see by going to the band unit with aeration and the disc injection, high pressure injection, we can reduce the ammonia volatilization substantially from the farm. Can't eliminate it because there's still a fair amount coming from the cows and their urine deposits and so forth. That's all factored in this as well. In this case, the grassland is making good use of that extra nitrogen that is being retained, and we're finding very little difference between the leaching and denitrified nitrogen losses across these systems because the extra nitrogen has been taken up by the crop, producing greater yield and higher quality forage. Phosphorus losses are not real different across these systems. They're actually fairly low from this grassland system. But if you look closely up here, this the soluble or dissolved phosphorus is reduced about 30% or 40% by subsurface injection. As far as the economics go, the only system that's providing equal to the current broadcast system, or even better in this case a little bit, is the shallow disc injector. So it is actually paying for itself through the improved nitrogen utilization primarily, and actually even providing a little return here. So look at the dairy farm, 1,350 cows, plus their replacements housed in freestall barns, relatively high milk production level, a somewhat undersized manure handling facility on this farm with 4 months storage. The manure is all being applied primarily to the 380 hectares of corn silage, but a little bit goes on the alfalfa as well. All is a no-till system currently. It's all surface broadcast. In this case, they have 5 trucks that are broadcast spreading. We didn't feel that that was reasonable to assume that we would have 5 injectors. So what we've assumed here is that we have 2 field injection units plus 3 nurse trucks bringing that manure to those field units. So that's how we've modeled that system. We've also found that there was an excess of nitrogen on this farm, or it was about right with the current system, but when we start saving that nitrogen, we have excess. So we decided to export that manure. We also have much excess phosphorus, so we're exporting some of the manure off the farm to make better use of what's being saved. So this is a look at the nitrogen losses. Again, you can see the reduction in the ammonia emissions. And really, in this case, since we are exporting some of the manure and making good use of the nitrogen that is being saved, we're maintaining fairly reasonable leaching and denitrification losses. In terms of annual phosphorus loss, in this case, by including tillage on this farm to incorporate the manure, we will greatly increase the sediment phosphorus loss but reduce the dissolved phosphorus loss. Overall, with the injection type systems, we can reduce the soluble phosphorus loss again by getting it subsurface. Just a quick look at the carbon footprint, which we are also predicting by removing some of the manure from the farm. Basically, we can also reduce the carbon footprint of the farm. That's what this is really showing. So we're not only making better use of the phosphorus and nitrogen, we're reducing carbon footprint. In terms of economics, again, with this system, with a shallow disc injector, we were able to basically maintain farm profitability as compared to their current system with no-till and broadcast incorporation, plus the environmental benefits that we were gaining. So in conclusion, we feel that this whole farm simulation type approach, supported by field measurements, provides a good basis for long-term evaluation of these types of manure handling systems, looking at combined benefits from the environment and economics. And in short, you know, with the systems that we're working with, the what we're finding is this shallow disk injection probably shows the greatest potential for environmental benefits without really adversely affecting the profitability of the farm. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. So we've started to run behind, but I will let Al handle one question if there are any, and then I'll call the speakers back at the end of the session so we can handle more later on. Are there any questions for Dr. Rosenson?
Yeah. Yeah, and this, we're assuming that the manure